Morning, everyone.
Morning, Bill.
I love this Oregon sunshine. You know, I have 3 days of summer, and then winter returns with a vengeance, and then it snows a little bit. It's just great. I love it. It's awesome. Hey, I got several announcements this morning. We're going to get right to it so that the preacher might get his sermon done today. And so evening assemblies are at the Kirkpatrick's this month, and college age group will be happening tomorrow night, and the ladies study will be happening on Thursday. All right. And the family fellowship dinner is coming up on the 17th, which is next Sunday. So, and that would be at 5:30 at the Kirkpatrick's. It's kind of potluck style. It'd be great. And fifth Sunday rally coming up, and it's going to be here at Pleasant Hill. And so I'm going to be talking to several of the preachers and asking them to come on down and bring their favorite git fiddle singer and do their thing, and we're going to do our thing, and so it should be a fun time together. So you know what a git fiddle is, right? Yeah. It'll be great. So anyway, let's see what I have down here. 6 o'clock, the Pleasant Hill Church of Christ. And you want me to write the address to you? No. And bring finger foods for afterwards would be great. Cheese and crackers are also always welcome here at the Pleasant Hill Church. So we're going to sing happy birthday to a whole list of people. Melissa Parks and Logan Drilliger, who were skipping out last week, but now they're here, so they can't leave. Jeff Sharon and Ellie Steiner and Lewis Winningham. Lewis Winningham. You want to go grab him?
Yeah, I'll
go. We got to sing happy birthday to that guy. So anyway, how old is Lewis now?
He'll be 5.
All right. They're shutting you out. He heard, man. Usually when you're older, you don't want to have people sing to you, right? You know? Singing a dirge when you're 65.
So.
All right, here we go. Let's sing it. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. So I want to know, can anybody guess how old Logan is? 39. Wow, that's close. We were talking, Logan and I were talking, and I knew it was his birthday, and he's 29. So it's congratulations, 29. Next year is what? How old are you going to be next year? 30, yes. Do you remember when I told you what happens at 30 years old? Okay, when a man turns 30 and he's married, he has a gravity shift from, and it just kind of settles, you know what I'm saying? So you're looking good, dude, you're looking good. So this is great. Next year? All right, well, anyway, happy birthday. All right, let's see, what else do we got here? Oh, I have a wonderful one word of encouragement. So, are there any others? Here we go. Melissa Parks, I love your servant's heart and your willingness to branch out and help fill needs, even with a full plate. Your lessons during ladies' studies are so thought-provoking and continue to encourage me and challenge my thinking throughout the week. Let's give it up for Melissa Parks. Woo-hoo! All right. Any other announcements before we get started? That's amazing. I have 35 minutes. Let's see if we can get through point number one today. All right? Turn in your Bibles. Thomas, you're going to find out that I have a lot of fun up here. I get kind of excited, and sometimes I lose track of time. So hopefully we'll get through point number one. Let's turn to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. I selected this psalm as one of the foundational verses for this year's theme, The Power of Hope, because it communicates the hopelessness of being without Christ, but the absolute hope in having Christ in your life. So let's read. My soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will you assail a man that you may murder him, all of you, like a leaning wall or a tottering fence? They have counseled only to thrust him down from his high position. They delight in falsehood. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. My soul wait in silence for God only. My hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. On God my salvation and my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Men of low degree are only vanity. Men of rank are a lie. In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than breath. Do not trust in oppression, and do not vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your hope upon them. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this. The power belongs to God, and loving kindness is yours, O Lord, for you recompense a man according to his work. Let's pray. Our Father who art in heaven, how praiseworthy is your name. How deeply thankful we are for all that you have done for us. And we would ask, Father, that you would reveal to us why we can wait in silence before you in hope. We ask that you'd help us today learn these things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, my first point, and by the way, if you do have a lesson plan this morning, I redid them, so now you can read them without only having one page. Isn't that great? Let me share with you in the very first point there that we're talking about how is it possible for us to be silent and waiting upon God when all around us and maybe even circumstances in our lives are just falling apart. There is an answer to that. Point number one. Know and draw near to him. Look at verse 1 and 2 again in Psalms 62. It says here, my soul waits in silence for God only, for from him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. Is Jesus Christ your cornerstone? Have you built your life upon him? Or do you try to solve your own problems? We talked about it last week and I kind of went off the rails but got kind of a little excited about how oftentimes I try to solve my own problems and it only leads to greater hopelessness. If you haven't recognized that we are finite, our thinking is limited, our wisdom is limited, our life is limited, everything about man is limited. The only way that we can overcome in this life is if we follow him in his footsteps. If I were to follow my father's example, and I'm talking about my biological father, I would not be married today. And my children would not have a father. You see, that's kind of how people in the world roll. But if you will follow God's example, your marriage will be blessed, your children will grow, and they too, even in light of some horrific things in life, will continue to move forward in serving the Lord. We praise him for that, but we need to follow him. Now, as we're taking a look at that, we must know and be convinced that God only is our salvation. Who is the next best person to be your Savior? Who do you pick usually? Yourself. You see why God can only be your Savior? God can only be your rock? God can only be your stronghold? Because if you try to do it on your own, Satan will knock you down. Do you know anybody in the flesh, in their own strength, in their own wisdom, in their own knowledge, can step in the ring with Satan and win? Do you know anybody? Just one. Everybody else is lost. You get into the ring with that guy, you'll lose. Now, if you get in that ring with Jesus inside of you, then you can win. Because if you follow his example, what did he do? He always went back to the Word. How come we don't get up in the morning and read our Word and think about how that might apply to our day? How come we don't? And you're saying, well, don't include me. Okay, why do I sometimes get in the middle of my day and start freaking out because everything's going wrong? And instead of turning to God, instead of praying, instead of finding the answer, what do? I try to figure it out myself. We need to realize that he is the only one who can save you. He's the only one that can give you the strength to power through and be victorious in this life. Turn with me to Psalms 89 and verse 26. Psalms 89 and verse 26. This is Jesus, by the way. Read the context. This is what Jesus said when he was on the earth. He will cry to me. God the Father says, he will cry to me. You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Do you bear the name Christ? Are you a Christian this morning? Do you bear the name Christ? This is what Jesus said to his Father. Read the context. This is Jesus, what he said, and the Father is quoting his Son. You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Now, as a Christian, can you say, you are my Father, you are my God, you are my rock of my salvation? The question is, you can say it, but can you live it? Because oftentimes, I'll find myself in the middle of a mess, and I realize I left somebody behind. Who should have been out front? Who should have been my lead? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Isn't that how it goes? And here I am in great need, I'm freaking out. What do I do now? Wait a minute, you forgot to follow. You took the lead. Do you want to wait? Do you want to be quiet and listen? Let's think of King David for just a minute. What did King David do before he would go into battle? You tell me. What would he do? He was always successful. What would he do? Tell me. He'd pray. And then he'd ask the Lord, okay, Lord, how do you want me to run this battle? And the Lord would tell him, here's how I want you to run the battle. And David would do what he was told, and he always won. David was a man after God's own heart. So it's important for us to pray before we go into battle. By the way, when you wake up in the morning, sometimes you're going to battle with your espresso maker, like I do. And can that throw your day into a... Some of you go, what are you talking about? Well, how many are addicted to coffee? See, nobody wants to raise their hand. Oh, good. Thank you. Sherry, you know what? We bought a brand new espresso maker, and we've had it for almost 3 months. And thank you, Ken. And I think I've gotten two good cups of coffee out of it. My coffee pot is not my savior. But I'll tell you what, I sure do like a good cup of coffee. The reality is, how could that throw my day off? You're saying, that's foolish. Maybe yours isn't coffee. Maybe yours is something else. You know what the reality is? The reality is do you put all of your hope in God, or you put oftentimes hope in yourself and those around you, which are what? Finite. They can make mistakes. They are not all wise. So, brother, I think it's so important for us to recognize that God really does need to be our first, our last, and everything else. Do you get up in the morning and listen to him? Do you get up in the morning and do you pray to him? While the preacher is speaking, do you play on your cell phone? Because the preacher, if he's doing it right, is preaching God's word. So it's important for us to recognize that. Turn to verse 5 through 8 in Psalms chapter 62. Again, we hear the psalmist say, I'm going to wait in silence on the Lord, for he only is my salvation. My soul, wait in silence for God only. Notice the psalmist here now is telling his soul. He's actually telling his soul, do you do that? Should we do that? We should. Soul, wait in silence for God only. For my hope is from God. He only is my rock. He only is my salvation. He only is my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. On God my salvation and my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in him. How often? All the time. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Jesus is our unbreakable lifeline and anchor in heaven. There are some churches that teach that your salvation is secure because God chose you, and no matter what you do, you're going to make it to heaven. That's false doctrine. If you remain faithful and rely upon God, and you allow him to be your all in all, yes, you will make it to heaven. He's the one that died for you. If you die for yourself, that's eternity separated from God. So here's the question. We have a song called Throw Out the Lifeline. Remember that song? I love that song. It's kind of an old country tune. Throw out the lifeline. And you know what that's really talking about? Share Jesus Christ with other people, for he only is your hope. Turn with me back to the book of Hebrews and chapter 6. Psalm 62 is the first verse of our anchor verses. And Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 is our second anchor verse. Notice what it says in verse 19 and 20. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus is, or has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is our lifeline. If you are not in Christ and Christ is not in you, there is no hope. Now, you might get some good things in this life, but that's all you get nothing else. You know, what I have found is people in this life who live according to biblical principle are blessed, because God teaches that. But for those who choose to reject God, their life, whether they think it is right or not, will end up in disaster. How many of you have ever considered buying a house without a foundation? How many of you would buy a house without a foundation? Any takers? Of course not. You'd say you're an absolute fool if you buy, especially in Oregon, be a fool if you buy a house without a foundation. That's exactly what happens when Jesus Christ is not your all in all. That's what the scripture teaches. Brethren, it's important for us to know that our lifeline is in Jesus Christ. Without him, we are nothing. And that's what the scripture says. With him, we can do all things. That's what the scripture says. We need to listen to him as we enter into our day. We need to pour out our hearts to him, as the scripture teaches, throughout the day. And we need to trust him in all that he teaches us, even though it might not sound logical. Because is the world logical? The world's advice will get you in trouble. It's only God's word that will keep you from falling prey to the devil. You know, it's rather interesting, this word hope here in verse 5. Tikva, we talked about it last week, literally means a cord or a rope. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our cord that's attached in heaven. Hang on to that cord. Hang on to Jesus Christ and his word. We also need to know, and I love this one, that the word tikva also means a captive's cherished hope. A captive's cherished hope. I guess Brian Bragg was preaching on it while I was teaching in the other room this morning. I can't wait to get to heaven. I can't wait to get to heaven. No, I will, of course. But I'm living for that day. You've heard me say this before, and I've heard it from others. I think it's the absolute most foolish thing. When someone says, you're too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. That's an absolute crock. You know what they used to put in crocks back in the old days? That's an absolute crock. See, what I'm telling you is this, is that if you're not heavenly minded, you really can't be any earthly good to anyone around you, because you're going to be serving yourself instead of others. Brethren, help. You need to understand that Christ is our hope in this life, and Christ is our hope for life to come. You want to bring hope back in your life? You want to bring hope back in your relationships? Then you put Christ first and follow Him. The restoration will take place. We must believe and confess that He only is our rock. If you don't understand what that means, and I'm honest, we can go to church all of our lives and not understand what that means. If you don't understand what that means, I have to be honest, it's been of recent that all these things I've been studying over the years just coming together. This morning was an awesome day when I got up. I got up early. And as I was reading, and I'm always panicked to get everything done for the assembly, this morning I said, I'm not going to do that. Did I need to get things ready for this morning? Yes. So I prayed and I read. You know how awesome it is when you can come here and the lesson plans are correct so the people aren't freaking out? It's awesome. Thanks, God. I got up this morning and I had time in Georgia, and I had time with a local deputy that came over after work. He was covered in mud. He says, I can't make it right on time. Can I go? I said, yes, fine. Everything's flowing. My morning went really well. I was so excited to be here. I'm still excited to be here. The day is gone without a glitch. That's not normal, because on Sunday mornings, I'm being bone honest with you, Sharon's my witness. So is Jake. Man, I'm running around like a chicken with his head cut off. Got to get everything done. Got to put it all together. And this morning I had a lot to do, but no, I'm going to read and I'm going to pray. Because what the preacher said last week really convicted me. Got convicted. So if I have a million things to do, stop, slow down, read, and pray. Have you ever noticed when you do it God's way, He kind of slows time down a little bit and you're able to get more done? I see some nodding heads. It is amazing. How is that possible? Only God could do that. Put Him first, and He'll help you get it all done. Now, don't be neglect, but He'll help you get it done. It's powerful. If you don't understand what that means, that He must be your rock only, your stronghold only, your refuge only, your glory and strength only, please talk with me. I'm learning how to do that. You're saying, well, that's good, preacher. It's about time. Well, I'm thankful that God is gracious and He's given me time to do that. What does it mean to trust? What does it mean to trust? I'm throwing that out there for the brethren this morning. If you trust someone, what are some other words you can say about that relationship? If you can trust them, you can what?
Rely.
That you can rely on them. What else? What is it? You can believe in them. In other words, if they say they're going to do something, you can rely on them to do it, and it'll get done. Right? What else? Trust. Go ahead. Absolutely, you can have absolute confidence in them. Somebody over here. You can put your faith in them. In other words, the trust and the faith. Did you know that in the middle of the definition of faith is trust? There you go. So trust and faith, faith and trust. Excellent. Anything else? Should we be trustworthy people? Should we be faithful people?
Yes.
If we walk in Christ Jesus, and He's our lifeline, we will be faithful. We will be trustworthy. The body of Christ then is that flesh and blood, Christ Jesus, to us. How important that is. Trust. What does Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Let me say that again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In other words, you should walk in his ways. That's acknowledging that his way is the right way. And what's going to happen to you? The blessings of life will come. You know, when things aren't going right, maybe you should stop and say, have I prayed today? Have I asked for God's help? Have I read today meditatively? Not just, I got my book done. But you read and you thought about it. And you gave God the first part and asked that he had helped you throughout the day. Several years ago, I was really, really struggling. Life was coming at me in every which direction. And an older preacher said, hey, Bill, how's your prayer life? And I had the audacity to say, what does that have to do with what's going on in my life right now? And you know, if I were to ask a young man how your prayer life's going, because of the craziness in his life, I know the answer, as that preacher did. It's important for us to realize that if God is first, then who should get the first part, the best part, the whole part in your life? Who? You see, it's important for us to recognize then that we need to pour out our hearts to him. And what does it mean to pour out your heart to him? You ever have a time before when you were broken and you went to your father or your mother or a dear close friend because you knew you could trust them, right? Because they were faithful, and you broke down and you just poured out, it's not working, my life is a disaster. You ever have one of those? You ever have more than one of those? That's what we're talking about here. If we start today by appealing to him, I'm really nervous about today because of this or that. When I left work last night, anything. He cares about you specifically. I want you to turn with me to the book of Philippians in 3 and put yourself in this place of anxiety, because that's what is being spoken of here. When you're in a place of anxiety, Philippians in chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. Listen to what Jesus says here through the Apostle Paul. Rejoice in the Lord always, even in the craziness of life. Rejoice, because God has allowed that. We just need to learn lessons from it. Or maybe we need to be taken down a little bit. Or maybe we need to be built up because he knows that we can handle it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. When you're anxious and freaked out, are you gentle or are you something other? As for me and myself, not just in my house, but myself, I am something other. I won't label it for you, but some of you have seen it before. When I'm worried, when I'm anxious, when I'm freaked out, I'm anything but gentle. But when you step back and you know that God has this, and I need to appeal to him, I need to listen to him, and he has all the answers, it's amazing what ends up happening. He says here, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand, because I know if you've truly done that, what the answer would be. You're all going to raise your hand. Have you ever been at the end of your rope in a situation and you realize there's nowhere I can go, there's nothing I can do, this is absolutely impossible, there's no way out of this box canyon, and you pray and God answers and God opens the door? Remember that sermon you preached, brother?
Yep.
That first sermon you ever preached? And when you in tears fell down and prayed to God, I can't do this. And it was an absolute impossibility, wasn't it?
It was.
An absolute impossibility. If you want to hear that story, listen to men's camp. Was it 3 years ago? Yeah. Makes me cry every time I hear it. When he prayed, God moved people all over Lane County to reach out, and he didn't even ask them. They're reaching out to him. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Calling him. If he wouldn't have prayed, he would have lost the house that he was working on, and it would have gone back to the original owners, and they would have had a beautiful house. You're almost done.
Yeah.
You see, when we're at that place in our life, only God can help. Why do we think we can do it? We are limited without him. Brethren, I just pray that when you read the scripture, pour out your heart to him, you will. And he will answer. Now, the last point is really exciting, and we still have point number two, and I'm going to run through it real quick, because I don't want to talk about people in this world. It's sad where they live. I lived there for 24 years, and that's why I almost committed suicide, because I was in such a dark, hopeless place. So I just want to read it really quickly. Don't go there. Stop being the God of your life. Stop being the Savior of your life. Stop trying to be the Mr. Strong Man or Strong Woman and yield to God, and then you will truly have strength, and then you'll truly have peace, then you'll truly have power, and you'll be able to overcome in every situation, and you will rejoice because your mind and your heart, body, soul, and spirit given to the service of the King. Go back to Psalms 62. We are wired as human beings to be self-preserving. Self-preserving. And unfortunately, when you are in that mindset of being self-preserving, you'll do whatever it takes because you're running on a faulty mindset that you can do anything to preserve yourself. You know what? God has it all dialed in. He's got every day covered. Did you know he has every tear that you ever have cried or will cry in a bottle? He knows how many tears in your whole life. How is that possible? He knows it from beginning to end. He knows it all. This is what he says here. If you're outside of Christ, how long will you assail a man? You ever notice that when you attack people, they don't like it and they attack back? How many have known that? Anybody? My dad had a stupid parent attack plan. And every time I was, he'd always, but he had no teeth. Until he brought out the belt. But it still didn't change my heart. Didn't change my heart. But you know, God is able to change hearts. So here it is. This is what my father was like. This is what I was like until I became a Christian and learned God's way. How long will you assail a man? I always thought fighting was the answer. That you may murder him, all of you. Is that going to work? Like a leaning wall or a tottering fence. That's the wrong way to go. By the way, when you criticize somebody, the Bible says that's as murder. Didn't Jesus say that? Does that help somebody grow? Does that help them get out of the mess they're in? Just criticize them until they figure out they're an idiot? It never works. It actually does the exact opposite. It destroys the relationship and it destroys them. You should do what God would do. You could do what Jesus did. And he always beckoned people to himself in a way, even when they were hard-hearted, to be drawn to him. Notice, man's way is wrong. They have counsel only to thrust him down from his high position. That never works. They delight in falsehood. Lying doesn't work. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they're a curse. You know when someone has evil motives, it doesn't take very long to know. Don't go there. Don't be that person. It doesn't work. By the way, self-preserving, that's why people lie, is to cover their mistakes. Can I ask you a question? How many of you had somebody come up to you and say, you know, I was wondering if you would forgive me because I really messed up and I was angry and I lost my temper? Have you ever had somebody do that? And you could tell their motive was pure? Did you forgive them? And when you forgave them, who was set free? The person that asked for forgiveness or you? Both. But yeah, you were set free. That's God's way. See, powerful in God's way, destructive in your selfish way. So don't be a man or woman who's carnal-minded living in this world. Men of low degree, like the evil people, low degree, are only vanity. They're like nothingness. And men of rank, they're so big and mighty, they're a lie in the balance as they go up. What does that mean? They have no real value, no real substance. And then it goes on and it says, they are lighter than breath. Do not trust in oppression. Again, trying to force people to do what you want them to do. And do not vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. You know what? The honest man, the good man, the humble man, the woman of virtue, the woman who is concerned for others, those are the ones who are found in God's kingdom richly blessed. When we enter our day, who do we seek first? When we start to have struggles, who do we cry out first? Who do we seek answers from? Honestly, I know these things now, and knowing them is a start. Applying them is the more challenging part. But you know, when you apply them, like I've been trying to do this last week, and this morning when I had to get everything done, but I went, I'm going to put the Lord first. I came out here, there were no slow pokes. How many know that slow pokes on the road when you need to get to the assembly on time, they're always there? How many know what I'm talking about? That's going, hey, just ask the blessing, and that guy will pull off at the next, not always, but, man, I'm telling you, my printer didn't jam up, and it worked properly, and it was smooth sailing. Will it always be that way? No. God will say, well, let's see if you really are real about this. Okay, so what are you going to do? Well, I got a little prideful thinking I had it dialed in. Would you help me? And it works. See, he has to be the only Savior in your life. He has to be the only strength in your life. Notice, will he save you? Yes. Will he give you strength? Yes. Will he protect you? Yes. But he's got to be the one. Not me, not you. He has to be the one. I got a hat my wife gave me. I love it. He is greater than I. I love that hat. You want to know why? Because I need to look at it myself. And I look in there, oh yeah. I take it off, oh yeah. Cover up your bald spot. So, he is greater than I. Isn't that true? Grammatically incorrect, I know. I've been told. Should be, he is greater than me, but it doesn't look cool on the hat. He is greater than I. Is that how it is in our life? Your life and my life? If he is, then you're going to see the power of God work in your life, in every relationship that you have, in every tough situation. You'll be more than a conqueror. You'll be victorious. I'm excited about closing this lesson next week, because truly the power is God's, not our own. We want to think it is, but it never is. It's never ours. It's always his. As soon as we recognize that, we can really grow and excel. Amen? All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, I'm so thankful for the understanding of our hope. Hope is that that confident expectation that what we so desire, that you have promised, will be ours. And that's what we're going to finish with next week. When we put our hope, our confident expectation in you only, then the blessings come pouring into our lives. Even when the craziness of this world is happening around us, your blessings continue. Father, I pray that we would learn these things and apply these things. Next week, as we read those few last verses and we bring some examples of how that really looks, I pray that we'd be encouraged to make God our only salvation, our only refuge, our only strength, our only hope. I pray this in your son's name, Jesus. Amen. All right. What did Jesus say to you? Said to?
Go!
Get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. King of Kings.